appreciate it. Acts chapter 3. We'll read a few verses tonight, beginning in verse 1. But Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he leaping up stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement in that which had happened unto him. In this chapter, we leave the stained glass windows behind. And the chapters before and the verses before this, that has been happening, has primarily happened inside the church assembly. They didn't have a building like this, of course, but it happens in the assembly. It happens with the disciples. It happens with those who knew the Lord and what God was doing in the church. But here we find God moving out of the church. We find Him expanding the Word of God. We preachers, and I certainly don't apologize, but we preachers emphasize a lot about what happens inside the church and inside the people of God. We ought to. For God's very much interested in what takes place inside this building and inside our hearts. But we should never neglect what He wants to do outside of the building, not just in us, but through us. And what we find here is God working through His people to reveal Himself and to reveal His power. In these verses, we find a man that has been lame from his birth up. The verses later on tells us that he was 40 years old. So he's lived a life of lameness. He's lived a life of insufficiency. He's lived a life of difficulty. But he's about to find someone who can make a difference in his life. In the first 5 verses, we find him as he's laying here at the temple. And Peter and John going in, he asks of alms. He's begging. It's the only way he can live. Only way he can survive is to hold his hand out one more day and say, "Will you please have mercy on me?" And we find here in verse 5, "And he gave heed unto them," listen, "expecting to receive something of them." He's about to get more than what he expected. Amen. He was expecting to get a few coins. He's expecting to receive an offering. He's expecting something to put in his pouch that he could go and buy some bread or maybe something to eat. But he asks of alms and he receives more than he could ever dream. Could I word it like this? We see an unexpectant man. I have read about these verses and I'm amazed that some talk about this man's faith. Well, I have great difficulty finding any faith this man has at all. He looks at them expecting to receive some money, expecting to receive an offering, but I see nowhere in here where he's expecting God to do something for him. He certainly is not expecting what happens. He's unexpected, if you want to say it that way. He's an unexpected man. He got more than what he expected. Now, when he looks and asks of them, Peter says that he fastened his eyes upon him, and he looks at the man in his eyes, and he says, "Look at us." So maybe this man thought, well, this fellow's really burdened about me. Most people just throw in a coin and keep on going, won't even look at me. Maybe here's somebody, maybe I'll get a good offering here. Maybe this fellow will give me some folding money instead of a few pennies. He's expecting an offering, but he's not expecting what he gets. But I promise you something. Even though he didn't get what he expected, I don't think he complained about what happened. I don't think he reported in with the disciples later on and said, "I'd like to ask you a question. Where's the complaint department? I'm not satisfied with the service. I wanted a few coins and I didn't get it." They never did. He never did get his money, by the way, as far as I know. I don't think he was looking for the little comment box like we find at Hardee's, where he could write his complaint out and send it to the district manager. He wasn't expecting what he got, but he sure wasn't sad about what he got. Verse 6 says, Peter and John's talking to him. He says, "I don't have any gold, but listen, but such as I have, give I thee." What a blessing it is when God does his business his way. What a wonder it is when God just shows us what he can do. I'll say it again. I don't think this man was expecting anything from God, but God did it anyway. It's such a blessing when just God does it just because he wants to. Sometimes that's the way God is. He just does it because he's sovereign. He just does it because he wants to. And I'm glad here's somebody that God's heart was touched, and the man received the help that he needed, and he got more than what he expected. He was wanting some help, but he got the helper. He was wanting some change, but he got a change. He was wanting some assistance, but he got the answer. Here's a man who got more than what he was expecting. The unexpected man. But then look in verse 6. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Listen, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which had sat at alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. There's a miracle taking place. The man had been lame from his birth. Peter looks at him and says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee." And he reached down and got him by the hand and pulled him up. And the man began to walk and leap and praise God. And he goes inside the temple. That's a good place to go. That's a wonderful place to acknowledge the good things of God. And he's walking through the temple and he's praising God and he's leaping and shouting and rejoicing. And here's these people, listen, who know him well. They had just walked by the man. Some of them had thrown in a coin or two as they walked by his lame body just a few minutes before. Now here he is, leaping and walking and praising God. They saw him. They knew him. They knew what he was. Amen. But they saw a man that was different. They could not deny it. There was no way to explain it. So not only do we see an unexpected man, but we see an undeniable miracle. God had done something that man could not explain. It could not be explained away. It could not be described. It could not be denied. They may not could have explained it, but they could not deny it. They may not have been able to tell you how it happened, but they knew that it had anyway. That's the way God works. That's the way He wants to work. He wants to work, amen, in a way that can't be explained. Wouldn't it be wonderful, thank the Lord, if God moved in this church and in your life and mine in such a way, such a real way, a supernatural way, that we just have to say, I can't explain it. All I can say, God did it. That's what's happening here. An undeniable miracle. They saw him, they knew him, and they saw the difference. Something had happened, and the only way to describe it is God did it. Oh, how I long for that. An undeniable miracle. This man didn't even have to learn how to walk. I could get mean right here, but I'm going to go to my usual sweet self and just say it like this. He had never taken a step in his life. He had never been upright in his life. He was born crippled. He had lived crippled for 40 years. But when God healed him, he stood upright and he walked and he leaped and he praised God on his own because God did something in his body. It couldn't be explained. And it sure can't be denied. An undeniable miracle. He's walking and praising God. Verse 8 says he's walking and leaping and praising God inside the temple. I'd love to sing that. Here's a man who has never walked. Here's a man who's never even stood up. And he's walking. Woo, looky, 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 looky. Woo. Look what God's done for me. Woo, hallelujah. Oh, such a good God, such a good God. Look what God's done for me. Oh, thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I can see the good brothers of the temple saying, oh, don't be so enthusiastic. It's just temporary. It's just emotional. Would you please restrain yourself? After all, this is the house of God. And I can see him saying, wait a minute, brother. I didn't hear you. I'll try and catch you on the next lap. Woo! He's praising God. He's worshiping the God who just did something for him that could not be done. You know why? You know why? Because God had done something for him. And God deserved the praise. And he deserved the recognition. And he deserved the adoration. And he deserved the worship. But could I say, God's done more for me than just healing my legs. God's done more for me than just touching a body. God has touched my never-dying soul. And my sin that was taking me to hell has been wiped away. It has been put into the blood of Christ to be forever taken care of. And even though I right now deserve to go to hell, I'm not going to hell. Oh, my God deserves praise. He deserves worship. And I thank Him tonight for what He's done for me. It was an undeniable miracle for him. But I want to say, amen. Hallelujah. It's an undeniable miracle in my heart and life. I ain't never been the same since He picked me up. I ain't never been the same, amen, since He changed my life. I ain't never been the same since He took my sin and washed it away in His blood. Never will be the same. It's an undeniable miracle. What a blessing, what a delight. Sure, God deserved the praise. Can you imagine how he felt? For 40 years, he's been a cripple. When he was a little boy, Brother Danny, he'd watch other boys play. He'd have to lay on the porch. He couldn't go play. When he got older and all his buddies were going on dates, getting girlfriends, he saw the love bug biting. He saw them getting married. He's ashamed to even ask a girl out. I mean, who's going to want a cripple? Later on in life, while his buddies were establishing careers and making money and establishing a good job, all he could do was say, "Well, please somebody take me. Will somebody please carry me to the temple one more time so I can beg another day?" He had reason to praise God. He had reason to thank God for what he had done. An undeniable miracle. He was not the same because of what God had done. Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as, amen, such as I have, give I thee." An undeniable miracle. I'm convinced they said, "Quiet down." He said, "I'm sorry, you're too late, I can't. By the way, don't want to anyway." Look in verse 9. "And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat at alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch which is called Solomon's, greatly wondering." Sure we would too. Listen now, story's not over. "And when Peter saw it," saw the people coming, "he answered unto the people," listen to Peter. Boy, you think I'm mean, listen to Peter. "Ye men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why you look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, have glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied into the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know." I'm convinced the reason the miracle took place was not just that the man would be healed, even though God wanted him to do that. Not just that people could praise God, even though he wanted that. I'm convinced there's an underlying reason. And that underlying reason that he was healed is in this message Peter is preaching. Because what God has done, he has taken an impossibility. He's taken a lame man and he's healed him and restored his health that he might get people's attention to where then, listen, Peter could preach the gospel. I see an unexpected man, an undeniable miracle, but I've seen an unseen message. In that healing, there's a message that's not clearly seen. In that miracle, there's a reason that's not easily detected to begin with, but it gets the attention of people. And when Peter knows that people are listening, something has happened. God has done something they cannot deny. So whoever this God is, we better listen to him.
whatever he says, we better listen to him. If he can do this, we better listen to him, for he is a God of power. An unseen message. He gets their attention to where they'll hear the message and at least listen. You see, in Bible interpretation, there is what's called a first mention rule. You look at the first time a subject is mentioned in the Bible, and usually throughout Scripture, how that subject is mentioned the first time will carry true all the way through the rest of the Bible. Just like sin at the Garden of Eden. Just like Ananias and Sapphira when God judged them in the early church days. He's trying to make a point. And here, listen to me, is the first healing in the book of Acts. The first healing after Pentecost. The first healing after the birth of the church. Could say it like this. The first healing, really, of the New Testament. And what do we find in this first healing? Somebody touched by God that they might be able to preach the message of the gospel while people are listening. And that's what Peter does. He looked at their face and he said, you want to know what's happened? You want to let me explain what took place in the life of this man that you're amazed of? I'll tell you. And he looked straight in their face and he said, the same Christ you denied is the one who healed him. You denied the Holy One of Israel. You denied the Just One. Pilate was trying to turn him loose and you said no. You, in essence, was the means whereby he was put to death. And now that, amen, that same one you think you dealt with, the one you think you got rid of, he is alive and he's working. They're confronted with a message. Some of them received the message and accepted it by faith. Look ahead in chapter 4, verse 4. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Listen, God performed a miracle whereby it would get the attention of people, and Peter preached the message, and some believed. 5,000 at one time got saved. What an invitation that would be, brother. Gets me a little excited just thinking about it. Some believed, some received, listen, some rejected. The first three verses of chapter 4, some would not receive the message. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Listen, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Some of them said, oh, I want that Christ. I need to be saved. And got saved. And there were some in the same crowd, heard the same message under the same anointing, and they said, I don't want anything to do with this. And they took the disciples and locked them up and put them in jail. The same message with completely two different responses. The same message brought completely two different decisions. I'm going to read some verses. I want you to follow with me because I've got to set up a little stage here to finish what's on my heart tonight. Here's my thought. Here's what this verse is saying. God is starting the church, but the church is more than just what happens inside the building, more than just what happens inside the heart of believers. God is very much interested in that. He wants to work here in the church and in our hearts. And God wants to work outside of the church, not just in us, but through us, not just in here, but out there. So in order to get the attention, he heals this man, gives him the ability to walk and run and skip and leap. And he gives glory to God, and Peter preaches the message of the gospel while he has their attention. Some receive it readily and get saved. Some deny it and reject it. But that's not the end of the story. Listen to what they have to do to deny this message that they've heard. Look in Acts 4:13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, these are the same ones that's put them in prison. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Listen, and beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do with these men? For that indeed a notable miracle had been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. These religious zealots looked at the disciples, and their conclusion was, we can't even explain them. There's something about these people. They took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. You know what they were saying? There's something about these men we can't explain. They not only looked at them, the disciples, but they looked at him who had been healed. They said the very same thing. We cannot deny the miracle, but we do know one thing. We don't want anything to do with Christ. Do you hear what they're saying? But listen, that's always been the position of the world. That's always the way the world has looked at the church and everything that God's doing in and out of the church. They may not be able to explain it, but they for sure do not want it. Verses 21-22, they threaten them and let them go. Look in verse 31. The disciples gather back together. Chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. You understand what I'm saying? They gather together and they pray, oh God, keep us strong. Oh God, use us. God, help us to not worry about the threats. Help us to not be afraid of what might happen. God, you've done so much for us. Will you please just take us and use us? And the Bible says the place was shaken with the power of God, and they were filled with the Spirit. Oh, don't you long to see that here? Don't you long to see that in your heart? Don't you long to see that in your life? That the God of heaven might shake you. That the God of heaven might shake this church. That God might come with power. Notice what Peter says in the midst of all of this. He says in verse 12, why marvel ye at this? You know what he's saying? Why are you surprised? Here's a man who's never taken a step in his life, and God heals him. Now he's running around, praising God, leaping and walking. And Peter says, why are you surprised? Why does he say that? Because he knows God, and he knows the God of the Bible, and he knows the God of heaven, and healing a man shouldn't surprise him. Seeing a miracle shouldn't shock them. He, in essence, is saying, why are you even surprised? This is God. God can do the impossible. God can do the unexpected. In our day, we've gotten to where the unusual, the abnormal, the extraordinary, is almost unheard of. And I want to say with the God that we have, the extraordinary ought to be ordinary. The unusual ought to be usual. That hardly ever happens ought to happen all the time. Because He's a God of power. He's a God who has ability. The church should be so energized with His power and His presence that the extraordinary is commonplace. Not that we get used to it, but that it's ordinary, it's common. We should not be surprised when God does something. Peter said, "Why marvel you at this? Why are you surprised? This is God. God did this. That was nothing for God." And I long for the day when we get to where we expect God to move, expect God to help us, expect the answer to come, expect Him to do the extraordinary. That's the God we serve. That's the God we have. The world heard the message. Some received it easily and readily. Some rejected it. And as the world looks at the church tonight, I wonder what her opinion of us is. The world used to fear the church. Even the world used to have a fear of God. A drunk would not drink on a church parking lot because that's God's land. Used to be you didn't have to lock the door. Used to be you didn't have to have an alarm system. Not in God's house, because even the drunks, even the ungodly, even the worst of life had a fear of God. And they feared the people of God. Church used to be feared. But we've lost our power. And we've lost our touch. And they stopped fearing us and started making fun of us. Started mocking us. And we deserved it. Now it's even worse than that. Now they're completely ignoring us. It's as though we don't even exist. It's as though we don't even ripple the water anymore. Because the power of God is gone in the church house and in the life of the average Christian. The people back then knew there was a God who could, and they expected Him to move. The world didn't. The world never will. But Peter said, "Why you marvel? Why are you surprised? This is God. You shouldn't be shocked when God moves." The world now laughs at us and mocks us at best. Most of the time they just ignore us. They pretend we don't exist. We're the far right weirdo wackos that have no sense. We're sitting out back barefooted with our shotguns because the church has lost its power. The extraordinary ought to be the ordinary because God's still God. God's still able. God's still willing. And I long to see when we come to church and we go back to the house and, oh, what a wonderful God we have. When we pray about some need in our lives and we know God's going to move because we see how big God is. We see how able He is. And when He does move, we're not shocked, we're not surprised because we see God. We know His power. Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee." In our day, we no longer have to say, "Silver and gold have I none," because we've got the finances. But we no longer can say the last part, "Such as I have, give I thee," because we've lost our power. We've lost our power with God. And the message is not being proclaimed like Peter. And people are not hearing in power like with Peter because we've lost our power. And the God of heaven who has lost no power, the God of heaven who's just as interested,
the God of heaven who's just as willing. It is as though I'm convinced he's sitting, I use human terms, sitting at the edge of his seat saying, will somebody please believe me? Will somebody please call on me? Will somebody please obey me? I want to show myself strong one more time before my son comes back to get my bride. Wouldn't it be wonderful if somehow in mercy we could be that church? Wouldn't it be wonderful if somehow in mercy God might put His finger on you and let you be that Christian that He uses mightily in these days? Tell me why it's not possible. Tell me why it couldn't happen. There is no reason except for one. Me and you. Let's stand together. Mindy, if you'll come. I long for His touch. I long for us to realize the extraordinary is not extraordinary with God. The extraordinary ought to be ordinary. The unusual ought to be usual. His power ought to be something that's regular. His touch and His work and His miracles and His working in our lives ought to be a commonplace thing. And I think it could be. Father, please speak to hearts. Touch us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Would you like to come and pray for your church? Would you like to come and pray for yourself? You realize that there's a God who can do much more. The man didn't expect much. He was on the receiving end. But he got more than he expected because the God of heaven paid him a visit. Wouldn't it be nice for the world to say, oh boy, I don't know what's happening down that church, but something's different. Wouldn't it be wonderful to see people saved on a regular basis again? Wouldn't it be wonderful for God to do the impossible on a regular basis again? Wouldn't you like to be used? Wouldn't you like to see God touch you and use you? Do you have any desire whatsoever? Is there a longing? Is there a stirred in your heart? If you're here tonight and you're not saved, will you please come? If your life was to end tonight, would you go to heaven? Do you know for sure that you would? If you think you're going to heaven, if I want to ask you a question. I say this kindly, but if you were to die and stand at the gate of heaven and Jesus would say, why should I let you in? What would your answer be? If you say anything other than I'm trusting the blood of Christ, friend, you won't go. Because it's only the blood of Christ, it's only what He's done that'll save us and forgive us of our sin. Will you come? I long to see His touch. I long to see Him work. I long to see God do something that will amaze. Not to build up our reputation, not to build up us. Peter and John both said, we didn't do this. Why are you looking at us? We didn't do this. God did it. God likes to do. He likes to work. He likes to move. But nothing else will work. Thank you for being here tonight. I appreciate you coming. Certainly, let's pray for Wednesday night. Don't forget, we need to use this parking lot. We'll be coming tomorrow to seal the parking lot, and Tuesday or Wednesday to do the striping. So we need to stay off of it, and we'll have this back door over here unlocked where you can come in that way. So please keep that in mind.